On this week's episode of HPDHQ, we have Officer Abraham of the Crisis Negotiation Team.
Welcome back to HPDHQ, the official podcast of the Huntersville Police Department. I'm Odette Saglambeni, the Public Information Officer.
And I am Brian Vaughn, the captain.
The newly promoted captain.
It's craziness. Yeah, it happened November 2nd. So, yeah. So what now captain over admin stuff. And we apparently have a COVID guest on today.
You can't say that.
I'm sorry, that was a HIPAA violation. Yeah, so we are back for episode 14. Today will be about
negotiators.
So in a few minutes we'll start talking to Officer Jim Abraham, who is on the crisis negotiation team.
Yep.
How has your week been?
You know, the weather is the hot and then cold.
I know, we're doing that again.
Woke up this morning, or every morning it seemed like there was ice outside, and then 70
again. Yeah, but I'll still be in short sleeves all year.
Yeah.
I'll still be fine. Yeah, it's just such a mess. I can't figure out what you just said. If it's like freezing outside, you go out, you can't drive. You start your car and you're sitting there and you're trying to drive through that little
the little hole in your mirror so you can see.
So you can see what the heck is going on.
Don't do that, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Make sure that you actually wipe all that ice and stuff off your window so you can actually see when you're driving. That would be nice.
We hadn't really talked about it. How did your Halloween stuff go? How your trick-or-treating and stuff last week?
It went well. I think I told you everybody was dressed different. Mm-hmm. My husband and I was Jesse, my husband was Buzz, and my son was Woody.
Mm-hmm.
And then my girls were Jasmine and Cinderella.
Yeah, I told you that could be like Toy Story 5. The princesses take over or something.
Yeah. No, they had a good time. My son took my hat. I didn't think he would wear anything on his head, but he took my hat that I was supposed to have for my costume. He was running around yelling, yeehaw.
That is so awesome. Cute. You guys are fitting in nicely in that area. It's nice.
How was yours?
It was good. We dressed up as a pirate family. I figured out that I think I can totally control what my kid wants to dress up as for Halloween by showing him whatever movies just prior to Halloween, and then it's
just
on.
Just plant the seed.
I know, and why didn't I think of this sooner? So we have been watching Pirates of the Caribbean. This is true, nor will I ever be. We were watching the Pirates of the Caribbean series over the last couple months, and he said, I want to be Jack Sparrow. So well, we were pirates a couple years ago, but we could be pirates again. Cares? That's fine. So now I'm thinking, like, next year we could be, like, I'll show him Silence of the Lambs or something.
Oh, don't do that.
He's 8. Is that not appropriate?
Is that?
He could be Hannibal Lecter.
It's been a while since I've watched the movie, but he might get kind of scared.
He might be. Yeah, I don't know.
He might have nightmares.
We could.
That movie wasn't that scary, but there are some scenes. Yeah, where it gets a little intense.
So I'll have to. I got to start thinking now what we could do. Ozark. Would that be appropriate for him to watch?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. It's a good show. I wouldn't let him watch it.
Oh, man. That's great. Hey, so we do have a guest today. We're going to episode 14 of this again for crisis negotiations. So we have...
It's a hard word, right?
It is. I about said... what did you say a second ago?
Negotiators.
We sounded really... Negotiators.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Anyway, so we have Jim Abraham here today. What's up, Jim?
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
I can tell.
You look like it.
Your face is the same color as that red can right now.
Oh,
are you
no,
okay?
I'm not that bad. I'm good.
Nobody can see you, Jim.
I know.
They
That's
can
a
just
good
hear
thing.
Everything you say.
I know. Yeah, everything. Everything you cough, they can hear it all. So Jim is one of our crisis negotiators.
See?
This is crazy.
Negotiator.
Say it
negotiators.
Five times. Say it 5 times fast.
No, I can't.
So he's one of our crisis negotiators. He's been with the police department here for, I think, like just before the dawn of time. he started here. How long have you been a police officer now, total, all your time?
Almost 22 and a half years.
Nice. So the same thing we ask every guest that comes in, how did you get in police work? Not why. We all know why. We want to help people. So how did you end up getting into police work?
Well, when I was a kid, I used to watch a lot of movies, and surveillance, for some reason, always seemed something that I really enjoyed. And at one point, I was thinking about trying to get into surveillance for a casino out west. My grandparents used to go to all the time. And next thing you know, I just started taking classes in college and enjoying the law enforcement side of it, and decided to become a police officer after that.
What movies were you watching?
Oh, well, back then, you'd have had, like, The Untouchables.
Okay.
Just surveillance always is something I enjoyed.
Not like Marty McFly's dad in Back to the Future, no, not that kind of surveillance?
No.
Hanging from a tree?
No. No.
Yeah, I think that kind of surveillance is illegal in like 48 states, so.
No, it's also creepy.
So you ended up doing that. So when did you go through BLET?
97.
And what was your...
Or no, sorry, 99.
Where was your first police job?
UNCC.
You did, obviously you did campus police there.
Mm-hmm, for 8 months.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. That was how long the process was here.
So you applied.
So you didn't like being at the school?
No.
Well, plus you would have just been kind of freshly out of college yourself, so you're about the same age as the people that you were trying to control. So,
not to mention my first arrest I made was on January the 6th of 99, and I had a serving since pen of 1999 on, and the guy looked at me and said, "You ain't been on the force but a week." I said, "Yep." Right,
but you're still going to jail.
That's right.
What did you do over there? Just the 8 months patrol?
Patrol, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds boring. And so the process here took a few months, and you came on here, and then you've been here since. You haven't served anywhere else. So where, what all have you done here at Huntersville Police?
I've been patrol, training officer. I've done canine, negotiators.
Yeah.
Fleet.
He is now Fleet
currently.
Ambassador.
Yeah.
He's actually helping me out a ton with Fleet stuff and some other administrative things that are, you know, just takes a lot of time and effort, and he's over there killing it.
Paperwork.
So literally he's killing, like, our cars are dying left and right, so he's literally
he's
killing
literally
it over
killing
there.
It.
No, it's all good. So he has done a bunch. I used to go train with him some when he did K-9 right before I got on K-9. I think we both had assessed for that K-9 position. I think you beat me for it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, I've never lived. I've never forgotten that.
You got in eventually.
Well, it's partly my fault too. So he did. He had an awesome dog then that we were all scared of, and he caught bad guys and found drugs and all that stuff. So he now is a negotiator and does that really well. Also, so what is it to become a negotiator? What's some of the basic training that you have to get to do that?
We go through a 40-hour class, and they teach you all the basics of de-escalation, how to see how a person reacts when they're in crisis, to learn how to do certain things and bring them down. Then basically from that, we train once a month, and we'll do 8 hours of training, role-playing, different exercises of making you think quickly on your feet, stuff like that.
So when you are negotiating, what are some of the things that you're listening for? What are some of the things that you're, you know, you said you're trying to listen to the person, what they're saying and things like that. So what are some of the things that you...
Well, the main thing when you get into a situation like that, the person just wants to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in a crisis. You're on the rational side of it, and usually when a person's in crisis, they're not thinking very rationally. So you pick out the little things of what you can talk to them about and possibly bring them into a more rational line of thinking. It could be as simple as, you know, they're fighting with their wife, and their wife won't listen to them, or vice versa. A husband won't listen to the wife, and it's some kind of domestic situation, and maybe it's over kids or something. So then you want to take a situation like that where he's mad at his wife or she's mad at her husband, but it's about the kids, so you start talking about the kids. When you start talking about the kids, usually somebody in that situation, everybody cares about their kids.
Yeah.
And that brings them back down a little bit into a reality, and then you can start working on solving their problem.
And you also are trying to make a connection with them also, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of listening and not a lot of interjecting. And if you can listen, a lot of people just, they talk into their own problem, they talk themselves down, and you're just there as a basically a way of rational thinking for them, and you're in between the police department and them. Mm-hmm. So you have no bias of anything, and you're just sitting there trying to work things out for them to bring them into a more rational line of thinking.
So how long have you been a negotiator?
19 years.
How many times would you say you've been called out to do stuff?
I've been called out about a handful of times. We mainly will deal with suicidal subjects now, mainly. Sometimes we'll get somebody in crisis. Never actually had a hostage situation.
Okay.
It's basically one person is barricading themselves into a certain area, or, you know, they're in a domestic situation.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's the quickest, like what has resolved itself the quickest, like time wise? What's the shortest amount of time you've been on a negotiation?
I've been on one with a young male that had been told some things that he had planned in the future would never happen for him, and he was at the end of his rope. He had been struggling, and he actually had contemplated on killing himself. So when I was talking to him, I just simply said, why don't you just come out and talk to me? It was within a matter of minutes, and it was like one of the first things I said to him, and that's what it was. He just wanted somebody that was in a position to listen to him. He said, okay, I'll be right out, which shocked me and everybody else at the time, because we expected it to be a little bit longer than that. But he came right out. So I'd say within a couple minutes, but mostly, the majority of them take quite a time. There's no time limit on it. The main thing is make sure everybody's safe.
How long? So on the flip side of that?
23 and a half hours.
Woo.
On the phone that whole time?
No, I was yelling at yelling into a yard at somebody. And, it was in the middle of July, and it was hot.
Oh. Jeez, that's a long time.
That is.
So do you guys, how many people are on the unit?
Right now we have about 7, and we combine with Cornelius.
So when you guys get called out to a scene, do you switch out if it's something long like that, or do you try to keep one negotiator talking with somebody the whole time?
We try to keep one negotiator the whole time. We will rotate out if, you know, it becomes a more involved situation where we need to get somebody a break. But usually when the person is on the phone, they develop such a relationship with the other individual that, you know, you build upon that. And if you take and shake somebody else into the situation, a lot of times you go back and start from square one, which it's not good for either for anybody involved.
Okay. Good stuff.
I know it. You guys, I know, train a lot with the SWAT team as well, because typically if they have something that they are doing, that they're probably going to need you as well, or you need the crisis negotiators to come in there and help them. So that's when that, you're training with them, right, usually, or is it hit or miss?
We train a couple times a year with them, and we'll go out with them anytime they do a high-risk warrant or anything like that. We're always there on scene just in case something was to happen. You know, luckily, knock on wood, nothing ever has, but it's good to have one of us there just in case.
I'd be careful to knock on our recording studio. It's not
it's not very stable.
It's not
it looks like
to.
It was put together with duct tape, but
pretty close.
It's not put together with anything.
Yeah, it's actually just sitting on top of this. Don't knock on wood badly. As you said, you guys train once a month, and then I know that you guys also, since training falls under my purview, I know you guys go to different conferences and stuff, so that way you can see what other places are doing or learn what some of the most current trends are. And do you do that often? And then how much networking are you able to do there?
Oh, we try to go about to 2 different ones every year. There's one usually held up in Asheville and another one at Myrtle Beach. And they'll have basically presenters come in from all over the country. We've talked to the gentleman that was involved in the Boston bombing.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard presentations from the standoff with the police in Waco, Texas. We've actually had somebody that came from the original Waco and tell us about everything. So we learn from their mistakes, and basically we just meet up and discuss every, when they do these presentations, a lot of us can sit back and they let us ask questions and stuff. We're like, well, I had something that might have revolved somewhere around a situation like what you had. And we learn a lot from their mistakes and from their successes, and then we put them in, you know, our little tool bag, and then we use it the rest of the time.
We've said it a bunch before that we do a lot of training here, and we try to stay on top of all the trends and stuff. And so, yes, you hear that the conferences are at Myrtle Beach.
I was
about to say it's
convenient how these conferences they're at nice locations,
like
Asheville and the beach,
right?
The mountains
in the wintertime,
and then
so
the water.
It's not like we're out there laying on the beach.
It's not like they're in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Will anybody be listening down there to us?
I don't know.
I mean, I didn't know if you knew anybody still down there that would hear it.
I know a lot of people down there still, but I don't know if they're listening.
Yeah, so it is, in all seriousness, though, I mean, they legitimately are going to these conferences and learning from them. At least the other six are. I don't know if Jim is, but the other six people.
It's definitely a skill that we need to work on.
Yeah, so it all of police work stuff just takes constant training. You can't just start your career and then sit back and
that's it.
And ride it out.
I did all my stuff. I'm done.
I did everything.
No, I use negotiation all the time, especially with my family.
Don't they say you're not supposed to use these tactics on
but you haven't
family
met
members?
My wife.
Obviously, his wife doesn't listen to this.
She will this time.
We may have to place a little bug in her ear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That'll be a good one. And you have a couple boys also, right? Mm-hmm. And they're getting older. I remember when his kids were born, literally.
Good thing you do. I don't. That's so long awesome. Ago.
they're getting older. You got one that's getting ready to go off to college.
That's
and
right.
This is craziness. Yeah. So thank you for all that information. Is there anything that you can think of that we didn't talk about negotiations?
Nah, it's just we got to talk to people anymore.
And
you got to be able to listen.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much negotiating takes place over text message? Have you done that yet?
Is
there any training in that yet?
I actually have done a couple. I'm usually in charge of all our training, so I put our guys through really hard paces. And I've done negotiations with them where it's strictly all been text messaging, or we've done some with FaceTime. But I've even had situations where the people won't even answer the phone when I'm trying to call them. And so I text them, and next thing you know, miraculously, they start answering.
Mm-hmm.
They start texting back and forth, and then we get them to go into talking on a phone. But, yeah, texting is one of the biggest things right now.
I was going to say, I don't know why that didn't dawn on me sooner in this conversation, but, you know, we're getting more
and
more.
People don't want to actually talk to anybody anymore.
Mm-hmm. No.
They just want to.
You can text my way out, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Just text me. Or, like, when you get a phone call from someone, you don't answer it, and you just text them back.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Just answer the phone.
I'm not giving away my secrets when people call me yet. I'll wait. I have those pre-things. It's like, I'm in a meeting, can't talk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I've just learned a lot.
New phone, who dis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we're in the supply closet of the second floor of Huntersville Police Department. You have been part of our live studio audience a couple times. And
the only one.
Yeah. And so we ask everybody, what's something unique about the room that you wouldn't expect to see in a...
Other than me and your podcast award, probably the roll of solder that you have up on the shelf.
We do. I don't even know what the heck that's there
for.
Solder? Do you know what solder is?
I don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
It's for electronics.
Oh.
It's this silver stuff that's in that little...
Yeah, it melts.
Oh, I can't see it.
This stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not even open, so why did we even buy this?
I don't know. There's a blowtorch back there, too, so I just... Maybe it was for that. I don't know.
MacGyver up here. So we're going to probably take... Well, no, not probably. We're going to take a break for a week.
Yep, we'll come back the week of Thanksgiving. Give people some Thanksgiving tips and some shopping tips.
Yep.
Oh, but we should mention, though, so since we like to gig our motors... we did have a motor officer that was involved in a collision when he was in the motorcade
mm-hmm.
for the First Lady of the United States, and he's doing well. So we just want to let everybody know that he's doing okay. He had surgery.
Mm-hmm. He's fine. He's at home. Yeah, and it was really cool. She called him
while
he was at the hospital.
They tried to record it, but he was a little out of it.
Yeah, they tried to record his conversation with her, but... and then she also apparently wanted to completely cancel her appearance to go see him, and
Secret
they weren't going to let her,
isn't gonna
do,
let
that.
Her do that.
Can't
no.
just change the plans last minute like that. Yeah. But he's doing good, so we'll skip this week of making fun of the motorcycles.
Yeah, we're not going to make fun of them.
It'll be way too soon for that, even though he would probably expect us to.
Probably. But he's doing well.
He is doing well. And so when we come back and we have those Black Friday tips in a couple weeks, we've got that for shopping and keeping yourself safe, and what else we got coming up? Is that it?
Christmas. I saw Christmas lights yesterday. Somebody put them up.
So, again, we said it last week. We record this usually the Friday before it comes out on Monday, and so we're recording this on November 6th, on Friday, November 6th. I drove through Burkdale yesterday after lunch. Their Christmas tree is up.
Oh my.
All the wreaths are up. The Santa shack is up. It's
You're not supposed to do that till after Thanksgiving.
They are on it.
My lights are going up this weekend.
Why? It's so early. It's still warm outside.
I know. That's why you put them up now.
We were going to, we always wait also, but it's just been that kind of year. Who cares?
I think we're
going
to have to get a tree early because it seems like when we go Thanksgiving weekend, all the good trees are gone.
Yeah, and it will be earlier this year. So, yeah, all those places have Christmas stuff up, but in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we might have an episode or two, and then we'll take a break after the first of the year. And then we have a little thing in the works that basically like a true crime podcast series that we're going to do through this. And we'll do like an episode or two of a current case to try to drum up some leads on. And we'll present that in like a true crime fashion. And that was Officer Odette Saglum over here that came up with
struggles
that
with it. It's okay.
Came up with that idea a few days ago, and we're like, yeah, heck yeah, let's
That'd
do that.
Fun. Yeah.
So we'll do that sometime early next year. But until then, we will see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to another episode of HPD HQ. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It's easy. Just type in Huntersville Police Department. If you have a comment or question for the HPD HQ podcast, email us podcast@huntersville.org. That's podcast@huntersville.org. If you like this episode and think someone else would too, please share it and don't forget to hit the subscribe option. We are the Huntersville Police Department. And remember, making good choices makes for a better day. One of these things, like,